I've noticed listening to news bits. I kind of listen to YouTube, you know, so I get little bits from SABC and ENCA and news, you know, MSNBC and Fox News and all over the place. And I've noticed that in the past few weeks, more and more, the news media are actually bringing politicians to task, leaders to task who lie. It doesn't seem to go anywhere, but I mean, at least they are not speaking out and saying, listen, people are lying. They're not speaking the truth. But I stand amazed how so many leaders will lie openly, and even if the lies are pointed out, they just never ask for forgiveness, or they just say nothing. And it's as if things just continue as it was. It's as if when they speak, people hang on every single word they say. And it doesn't really matter who they are. It doesn't matter whether they've got integrity or they don't have integrity. It's as if people are just listening to people who are not supposed to be listened to. You don't know whether they're going to speak the truth to you in the next 5 minutes. But still, people just hang on their every word. They hang on their lips. When it comes to celebrities as well, I find it completely disturbing that people would actually start jumping up and down and shouting at the height of their breath. You know, they lose their breath to shout at these celebrities as they come. If the celebrities speak, and especially if they've spoken to them or touched them, it's as if they're going to faint. It just doesn't make sense to me how people are elevated to positions, or not positions, but let's say they are elevated to a place where it seems as if they are untouchable. They can be the people with the worst track record with regards to morality, but it's as if people are just praising them and listening to what they have to say and so on. I was following the court case of Johnny Depp and his ex-wife, and what a marriage. A complete disaster. Everything that you don't want to see in marriage, they had in their marriage. But if you listen to people speak about them, they are this, especially Johnny Depp now, he's this example for people to follow. When in fact he's a drug addict. He's an alcoholic. He hasn't got a track record at all that is good. What amazes me even more is when I listen to some of believers, the people that they follow, the people that they actually look up to, the people that they would listen to and embrace what those people are saying. And then I wonder to myself, what in the world is happening? I believe that we are, by the way, living in a world that is very close to seeing the return of Jesus Christ. I think we're very close to the return of Christ. If not close or very close, maybe close. But we are. There's definitely things happening in this world. And there's going to be a day when a certain man is going to come onto the scene. And people are going to hang on this man's lips. They're going to embrace him. But this man is going to be the devil. Literally, we can say it's not going to be the devil incarnate, because he can't be the devil incarnate. It's only God who could become flesh. But this will be a man completely possessed by the devil. But people are going to follow him as if he is the hero, if he is the savior of the world, if he is the only one who can save them from all the problems on the earth. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. He's going to come on the scene, and with his words, he's going to get it right to get the world to follow him. Then I realized, but wow, so the things that we are seeing happening around us in the time and the age that we're living in is all preparation for that moment when the Antichrist is going to come onto the scene. Because if people do this with celebrities and they do this with politicians and these people do not have integrity, what's going to happen if A person comes onto the scene who is an amazing politician, who is an amazing strategist, who is an amazing economist, who is the best of the best when it comes to everything. He's going to have so much knowledge. He's going to be able to do miracles. How much more will people follow such a man and embrace such a man if they are willing to follow people now that has no integrity? And a great concern that I have is if I look at the professing church world today and who they are following and looking up to, then I wonder to myself, wow, I think it's only going to be but by God's grace that people are not going to follow the Antichrist when he comes with his deceit. Now, a passage for this morning is a very interesting passage of Scripture. It's Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, we're going to read from verse 20 to verse 24. An amazing passage of Scripture. And my heading for this morning, my theme is the voice of a God, in inverted commas, that couldn't save himself. The voice of a God that couldn't save himself. Before we read though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name, and thank you for your word. You've written things down for us, even something that happened so many years ago that are completely beyond our understanding. But you've given it to us. You've written it down for us so that we can read, learn, be warned. And I want to pray this morning, Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that you will open it up to us, enable us to see the principles and apply it to our lives, and may we use it as a warning as we speak to people in the world, so that they too might not follow the voice of a man, be discouraged, but rather follow the voice of the living Almighty God and him alone. Oh Father, please open up our hearts to receive your word, our minds to understand, and please enable me as your servant to teach your word. As I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Right, Acts chapter 12, verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on the set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. An amazing story. Now, let me give you some background. The Herod that is spoken about here is Herod Agrippa I. Now, he reigned from about AD 37 to 44. He was the grandson of that well-known Herod the Great. And he made a lot of debt in Rome. He's a guy that loved to spend money to such a point that they actually kicked him out of Rome. They didn't want him in Rome anymore. Now, it's interesting when you think about it. It's kind of typical of a grandchild now riding on the name of his grandfather to be a, let's call him a washout. But anyway, I believe with my whole heart that he was a spoiled brat. I mean, to say the least, a total washout. But nevertheless, he fled to Palestine because he was a wanted man in Rome. He was imprisoned by Emperor Tiberius because he spoke too quickly. was one of those little loose-tongued people. And after Tiberius died, Herod Agrippa I was released from prison. And just amazingly, he was made the ruler of northern Palestine. Now in AD 41, Judea and Samaria were added to his rule. Now it's important to note that he wasn't loved in Rome at all, even though he became a ruler over Palestine. But it seems like they took some of the people that they didn't want close to Rome, and they would just send them to Palestine. Let them go and rule Palestine. You know, go and rule those bunch of Jews. But the Jews loved this guy. And the reason why they loved him was because he was a persecutor of the church. The Jews hated the church, and Herod did exactly what the Jews wanted. He persecuted the church. Now, just a quick word on Herod's position as a ruler in northern Palestine. It always amazes me how I call him a narcissistic criminal. You know, like Herod Agrippa I can end up in a position as the ruler of a region of the Roman Empire with so much authority. I believe that this godless man was not supposed to rule. He was supposed to be isolated, thrown into prison, and locked up, because that's the kind of person you can just see that he is. Now remember, please, Herod was not a Christian. He was not a believer. He was a persecutor of the church. He hated God. He hated God's people. He hated the church above everything. He loved the Jews, but he hated the church. So he was a godless, evil man. But because the Roman Empire was an evil empire, he became a ruler in the Roman Empire, because that's what evil empires do. They have to put people in place that are evil, that are God-haters, that hates the church, that hates everything about God, because that's the kind of empire that the Roman Empire was. It was an idolatrous, God-hating, evil empire with a bunch of narcissists. If you want to talk about narcissists, you just take the emperor of Rome, and you'll see one of the greatest narcissists in history. They always wanted to be worshipped. People had to bow down before them. Now, it's normally these kind of rulers who abuse their power, you know, like Herod. You can just look through history and you'll find that these kind of people with this kind of, how can I say, characteristic, or these kind of characteristics in their lives, they are normally people who abuse their power. Because they can't handle authority. They can't handle power. Their position normally goes to their head. They normally have no integrity. They normally have no backbone. They normally ride on the bunch of people that are around them. They normally have a bunch of guards around them that protects them. Because if they don't, the people will most probably overthrow them and kill them, because they're normally bad rulers. Very, very bad. And Herod was not a good ruler at all. So they have no backbone. And the only reason why someone like Herod was given power was because of his grandfather, that he was Herod the Great. You know, he had the right name. And that's kind of how it works in the world, doesn't it? You got to have the right name, belong to the right family, belong to the right party, belong to whatever. It's not who you are, it's who you know. You know, it's the people that you can influence and how much money you've got and those kind of things that eventually make you a ruler. It's not your integrity, please. That's the last thing people look at. It's not your character. It's not who you are. It's a lot of bunch of other stuff that basically decides whether you're going to be a leader or not. And people, just open up your eyes. You can see it all over the world. It's not who you are. People don't choose people because of who they are, because they've got good character, they're God-fearing, Christ-like people. No, they do it because they have the right name, belong to the right family, because they have a lot of money, a lot of influence, because they can talk like a snake. Anyway, Herod Agrippa the First couldn't even look after his money. That's why he was kicked out of Rome. So he was not even somebody that you can trust with his own money. If you can't trust him with his own money, how in the world can you trust him with the money of the Roman Empire? Especially the part that he was ruling over. You can't trust him. He's going to steal it because that's who he is. He can't even rule or run his own things. So the kind of leader that this man was is just so, so heartbreakingly bad. Still in the corrupt, evil, godless Roman Empire, they found a place for this man. And today, you can still see there are many, many people like him all over the world. All over the world, you'll find people just like Herod Antipas the First. Now, there's another thing that's important about this man. Is he couldn't contain his temper. How do we know that? Well, we can see it in verse 20 now. It says, "Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon." Very angry with them. That's all the text tells us. But it's enough. Because that's kind of, if you look at the kind of man that he was, that's one of the things that you will normally see in leaders like this, is that they cannot handle their anger. They can't control their anger. They've got these outbursts of anger. You just need to be with them long enough to actually come under their wrath. You'll find very quickly, if you don't do what they say, the way they want things done, and if you don't tread softly and lightly, you'll get it. Because they can't control their emotions. They don't have the ability to do that. Now, just letting my imagination go for a moment, I think the reason why he was so angry with the people is maybe because they weren't boosting him enough, you know, making him feel like the man. I mean, he was overall the ruler, wasn't he? You know, I mean, he was somebody. Maybe they didn't kind of, what do you call it? Take his little ego and polish it up for him to make him feel good about himself enough. Maybe they didn't listen to what he had to say. Maybe they weren't paying him enough. Maybe they didn't honor him as much as he would have liked them to honor him. Maybe they didn't give him the things that he believed that was due to him because of his position. Because remember, these kind of leaders are normally entitled believers, entitled leaders. They believe that there's a lot of things that are due to them just because they are the leader. They are the king. Their position tells you that they are entitled to certain things that other people are not. Even though their integrity stinks. They're not people that you can look up to. They're not people you can follow. They're just bad. Their character is just not something that you want to follow. Because you're going to become just like them. But whatever the reason, what we know is that Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon were basically two cities, two port cities in the province of Phoenicia. And the people of Tyre and Sidon, the text tells us, they made friends with Herod's treasurer so that they can have peace with him, because they were actually reliant on him to give them food. That's why they made peace with him. And this tells us something else about this leader, is that he would control people. He would control people. And why would he control people? He would control people because that's what these men do, is they are power hungry. They want as much control. They will never, ever let go of power. They can't. Because that's what makes them who they are. They are power hungry. They can't let go of their power. So very interesting. So these two cities were dependent on him, but he was very cross with him, and the chances are that these two cities, the leadership of those cities, might have stood up against him. But then they realized, oh, you don't stand up against a man like this, because if you do, you're going to get it. So that's why they made friends with his treasurer to kind of come in from the side and still receive the food from him, because they were dependent on him. Because that's what leaders like this also do, is they make people dependent on him, on themselves. Right, they always make people dependent on them. They will not say to people, listen, I'm going to give you the means, you go and do what you need to do. Develop yourself. Go somewhere in life. No. They will control all the means so that they can always have control over you. That's how it works. Beloved, I want to share with you and say to you that what Solomon said when he was an old man, that there's nothing new under the sun, is so true, isn't it? Nothing new under the sun, because this is what we're seeing in leadership in the world today. We see this kind of thing. So this is a small picture. It's one man that actually represents leadership in the world today. This is what leadership in the world looks like today. And it's not a surprise, because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything just, it's like a wheel that keeps on turning. Anyway, when we get to verse 21, from verse 21 onwards, we read a story that is just too strange to be real. I mean, in verse 21, we read that Herod set up a specific day, most probably to celebrate, or to kind of, yeah, a day of celebration of Caesar or something like that. And he decided to sit on his throne with his full royal apparel. And at that specific stage, he gave a public speech to the people. Now, the Jewish historian Josephus, he wrote in his history book, he says that the clothes, the apparel that Herod had on that day was pure silver. That's the clothes he had on. Which basically tells us something else about these people, nah? These kind of leaders. They love their clothes. They love to stand out. See, it sounds very much like our celebrities today as well, isn't it? They always have to stand out above the masses, because they are more important. They are the ones that you have to look up to. They're not like the common folk. I mean, wow. I was so surprised one day, because it took me a while, but then it just kind of kicked in when I realized that Britain has what they call the House of Lords. And that's the House of Lords are for the Lords, those people that has been elevated by the royal family to a position higher than the House of Commoners. Amazing, isn't it? You have the House of Commoners, and then you have the House of Lords, and then you have the royalty, by the way. So a clear distinction between people based on what? Their surname? How much money they've got? It's definitely not based on their integrity, most of the time, because most of these people do not have integrity. Most of their lives are not exemplary at all. People shouldn't follow their lifestyles, because their lifestyles are a disgrace most of the time, anyway. Or a lot of times, let me use those words. So he wears this clothes, or these clothes made out of silver. Okay? And it's interesting, as I said, that your people that have this kind of leadership, this kind of character, this person with these kind of characteristics will always stand out, or they want to stand out, you know, from anybody else. They don't want to look like everybody else. They want to be special. They want to look special, because they find their worth in what they wear and in their position and in the stuff that they have around them and the power that they have over people. That's where they find their worth. because they don't have anything in themselves. They are people without integrity. They have nothing in them. But anyway, this is the kind of people that, or the kind of person that Herod was. And now in verse 22, we see something about the attitude of the people towards this ruler of northern Palestine. And this amazed me. Because for some reason, the people became so, and I use the word bewitched. Because I don't think there's another word to describe what happens here. They must have become so bewitched by this man and by his speech. Because remember, he's now giving a speech to the people. And as he is giving this speech to the people, I think the people must have gone into a trance or something. Because they started crying out. Listen to this. It says in verse 22, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man." Absolutely amazing. You want to tell me this is what a God looks like? Yeah, what a low standard. If he was to be a God or something to be idolized, like what we have now. Now we have those things that people go and sing and they can become an idol. Yeah. South African idols and American idols and all these idols. So people can become idols so that people can look up to them and worship them. All indoctrination, by the way. It's all indoctrination to get people to not think for themselves, but to just kind of go with the flow, go with the masses. And later on, they start worshiping celebrities and they start worshiping leaders and they don't even realize why. And I believe it is so that the world can be prepared for the coming of Antichrist. That they will worship him without questioning anything. So the people, for some odd reason, so bewitched by this man, the voice of a God and not of a man. I mean, how is it possible for people to become so blinded, so deceived, that they believe that this jailbird, this narcissist, who doesn't have control over his emotions and who cannot even manage his own affairs, how can people get to the point where they lose all ability to think logically and believe that they are listening to the voice of a God? It amazes me. I'm dumbstruck. Because any person with a little bit of logic would stand there and look at this man and say, "You're not a God. You're not even close, man. You don't know what a God is." And by the way, maybe if you compare him to some of the idols that you find in the world today, yeah, maybe it could be like an idol because they're filthy. There's some of them that are really, really filthy. But anyway, it's sad. Beloved, when a nation gets to the point, to this point specifically, that they believe a human being, in Herod's case, a washout, can be seen as a god. Sad. Very sad. And listen, this is the nation that is shouting this. I wouldn't know how many people were there that day. But I would guess it would be a lot of the people, because these kind of leaders want a lot of people in front of them, man. Because if there's just a few people, they're normally not happy. They want the masses. They want to talk to a lot of people at the same time. They cannot handle a little group in front of them. They want to have the masses. They need to talk to everyone at the same time, because you must remember, there's someone. What happens next, I believe, is a lesson. Now, let's call it a warning that I believe that should be taken to heart. Verse 23 tells us the following. Then immediately, and listen to the word, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. I hope to you as well, because to me, when I read this, it's a gross picture, isn't it? While the people were shouting that Herod was speaking with the voice of a god, worms started eating him alive. Actually, they say according to Josephus, this first, first century Jewish historian, he writes that Herod was eaten by worms for 5 days before he died. It started there, and for 5 days the worms ate him, till eventually he died. So for 5 days this man was in excruciating pain as the worms were eating him alive. I mean, it's not even a good thing if an ant starts biting you, no? It's a painful thing. Now think about worms eating you alive. What it would feel like. Verse 23 also tells us why the worms devoured this man. It's because he didn't give glory to God. Beloved, think about it. If somebody today would rise up and be struck like this man was, God's punishment would come upon that person, and God would allow worms to start eating somebody alive because they would not give glory to God. How many people would be alive today? How many leaders would be alive because they do not give God the glory? Who put them in power in the first place? Scripture says to us there's no authority but from God. God is the one who gives authority. God has to be honored. God has to be glorified for what has been received. Dangerous thing. The problem is, it's written in Scripture, but it's as if people don't read it. They don't hear the warning. They don't heed the warning. They don't care. It's as if God doesn't do this anymore. Well, I haven't seen anybody being eaten alive, but I wonder if we really go into it, how many people, how many leaders who has not given glory to God has died in mysterious ways, died in ways that you would say, this is not natural. I didn't go and check up, by the way, but that would be interesting to see. Because God hasn't changed. God has to be glorified, whether you are a Gentile, a heathen, an unbeliever or a believer, God has to be glorified. It doesn't mean because you're unsaved, you shouldn't glorify God. And you shouldn't give Him the glory. He is God, whether you like it or not. Whether you acknowledge it or not, God is God, and He has to be glorified. He has to be honored. He has to be praised. He has to be acknowledged as God. And if you don't, you're going to carry the consequences of the fact that you deny to give God the glory that is due to Him and Him alone. So the fact that God is not causing worms to eat people who do not glorify Him is just grace. It's just because of His restraining grace. But there's going to be a day of God's judgment when God is not going to release the worms on people, but He's going to cast them into a lake of fire where Jesus said, there is a worm that never dies. Scripture teaches that. But beloved, let's now think about it for a moment. I mean, no way do we read that Herod told the people to say that. We don't read it. We don't read anywhere. I mean, why would he be the one that is punished? It was the people who said he's got the voice of a god. He didn't say it. They said it. Maybe something in his speech kind of went into that direction. That's possible. But still, he didn't say to them, hey, you must now say that I have the voice of a god. Or, I'm telling you, I am a god. We don't read that. So why would God strike Herod and not the people who were saying that he is or has the voice of a god? I believe and this is just the picture that, remember that the book of Acts is narrative. No? It's telling us histories, historical literature. So it's giving us a historical picture of what happened in the first century church. There are so many lessons that we can learn from it, principles that we can take from it. So, as I was reading this, and the people, I believe, when they started shouting, said that this is the voice of God and not the voice of a man, what Herod should have done was to immediately say to the people, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Please, don't say that. You do not know what you're talking about. I may have the power to execute all the soldiers, you know, that allowed Peter to escape because he did it. Just in the previous chapter, you will read about it. Well, I mean, the previous few verses, just before we get to our passage. He executed all the soldiers that allowed Peter to go free, while it was actually a miracle from God. He could have told them, I may have the power to tax people and to give or withhold food from cities like Tyre and Sidon. Yes, I have the power to do that. I even may have the authority to call a day in honor of the Roman Emperor Claudius. I may have the money to make myself this garment of silver. But I'm not God. And don't say I am, or I am speaking with the voice of a God. I don't speak with the voice of a God. I am, and maybe if he was a little honest, he could have said to the people, I am the spoiled grandson of King Herod the Great. Just to kind of put a confession in there, to humble himself before the Almighty God. Obviously, Herod didn't do that, but that would have been a good thing. He could have said, I ended up in jail because I had such a big mouth. I made so much debt in Rome that they didn't even want to have me in Rome. They chased me out of Rome. I'm not a god. And I can't speak with the voice of a god because I'm not a god. God alone is God. He is the one who created everything. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is the only true God. He is Elohim. He is Yahweh. He is Adonai. He is God and Him alone. There is no one in comparison to Him. I'm nothing. I'm like dust in comparison to Him. But you see, Herod never silenced the people. I believe Herod stood there and he received the glory of the people. Maybe because he believed it was due to him. Think of that moment when the people started celebrating him. Shouting out the voice of a God, the voice of a God, the voice of a God, the voice of a God. Think about the leaders if they stand on the stages and people start shouting out their names and it goes louder and louder and louder. How those leaders must feel, nah? The ego is so pumped up. There's no way that they will humble themselves at that moment. I believe that maybe Herod, no, not just maybe, most probably, he enjoyed the fact that people were saying that about him. Because, most probably, because he has a conscience, and because he killed a few Christians, he must have gotten in contact with Christians. Maybe there were a few Christians that already told him about the fact that he was a sinful man. Maybe enjoyed the fact that his ego was boosted a little bit, you know, and the people were saying that he had the voice of a God. He felt so good that he couldn't leave the people. He couldn't say anything to the people, just left them. But beloved, Scripture tells us that God doesn't share his glory with anyone, isn't it? He doesn't share his glory with no one. God alone is God and worthy to receive all the glory. And all the honor and all the praise, no one is worthy but God. But Herod didn't give God the glory. So for 5 days, you got a taste of hell. That was just a taste. It was like a foretaste. And while he was being eaten by the worms, we don't read that this man humbled himself before God and repented of his sin. and turned to him and asked him for forgiveness, he was willing to go into hell while he was experiencing hell. Maybe that's how confident he became in himself, that he believed maybe he is a God. Because people become so delusional that they actually think more of themselves than what they ought to think of themselves. You see, beloved, Herod was receiving the due judgment and the due punishment for stealing God's glory. And that's all I can call it. He was stealing God's glory. It wasn't enough that he was stealing money and he was spending money and he was doing so much in the kingdom, you know, of the Roman Empire. No, he had to go and touch the glory of God. Because that's normally what happens. There's an escalation of sin. An escalation to the point where people think that they are strong enough to attack the glory of God. And a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, the scripture says. But beloved, I believe that this lesson is not just a lesson for leaders, let's call them secular leaders. I believe it's also for the church, for elders, for pastors. Even those who profess to be believers in the evangelical world that says that we are little gods. Have you heard that doctrine? The Word of Faith teachings, the Word of Faith doctrine, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn. Those guys that it's in their teachings that we are little gods. Same thing. Dangerous doctrine. So there's a warning in here for them as well. There's a warning in there for every single one. That's why we, as anybody that has a position of leadership, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are in a position of leadership, if you lead the smallest of group, if you lead one person, two people, three people, if you lead 1,000 or 10,000, there needs to be a humility in leaders to know that they cannot touch the glory of God. You don't touch His glory. It's His and His alone. And pastors and leaders need to get to the point where they say, thank you very much for the kind words. If you say that I'm a good leader or I'm preaching well or I've got a good ministry or whatever, thank you very much for the kind words. But I'm not worthy to receive these kind of words. Can't. Because God has called me. I'm serving Him. I'm an undeserving servant who are doing what I am called to do. He receives the glory. I decrease. He increases, like what John the Baptist did with Jesus Christ. That's the attitude of a leader. Somebody that understands that when it comes to God and when it comes to the glory of God, we need to be very careful to take anything of His glory away from Him. We're not worthy to do that. Beloved, for 5 days, I believe that the people must have looked at Herod, or they must have heard. Maybe they were standing outside the palace. And they must have heard, oh no, they're eating it more and more and more, and now we think he's going to die now at any moment. Think how the people must have thought about Herod then. The voice of a God. That was the words that they used before. And now the voice of a God is being eaten by worms. He is no God. No human being can be a God. Their God was helpless against worms. Not even against the Almighty God, against worms. Insects. Their God couldn't even stand up against insects. How in the world can this man try to stand up against the Almighty God and try to steal His glory or take any of the glory away from God? Beloved, God did not punish the people. God punished Herod. Why? Why didn't God punish the people? I believe this is God's hand of grace reaching out to a bunch of people who deserve to be eaten by worms as well, to end up in hell. I believe this is God's hand of grace reaching out and saying, I'm going to allow worms to eat that man so that you can come to your senses, so that you can wake up and realize, honor me and honor me alone. I believe it was a major work of God's grace at that specific moment. Nobody would look at it like that. God could have struck everyone that was there, and everyone could have been eaten by worms, but God doesn't do it. He strikes the leader because he's the one who wouldn't glorify God, and he says, there's an example. You see what happened to him? It can happen to you as well. What you need to do is bow your knees before God, the real God, the Almighty God, and give him the glory and the praise and him alone. Love it. There's coming a day when that's going to happen, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether you want to, whether you will, you refuse to do it. And if anybody stole the glory of God in any way, they will be judged for it. Maybe that's why God sometimes are so hard on leaders that get onto pulpits and they become so high and mighty that after a while God has to remove them because they are treading on a very dangerous place. They are stealing God's glory and they are drawing God's glory to themselves with all their fancy paraphernalia and all the fancy stuff that they do. Instead of giving God the glory, they draw or they bring God's glory to themselves. People who elevate their leaders, let's call it to God status, inverted commas, small g, they should watch, see, and be warned. This is not a story. This is history. This happened. This has actually been written down as historical fact. But you know what? What did they say about history? One of the things we know about history is that we, or one thing that we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. It's interesting how people even today try to steal God's glory and try to get away with it, or think they're going to get away with it, when in fact they are not going to. I want to end off with this, because this is what the text also ends off with. Verse 24. Amazing. Now, think about Herod. Herod Antipas, the first. The kind of leader he was. The fact that he persecuted the church, that it was a terrible time to be alive. The Roman Empire was in control, this evil, godless empire that hated God's people, that hated the church, that hated God. It was a very tough time for believers, for Christians. And you would think in those kind of situations, or that kind of situation, the things that was going around at that specific stage, that the church would shrink, that people would be afraid to add themselves to the church, that people would not listen to the word of God, but would rather do what these people did and start elevating leaders and start worshiping these leaders, calling out that they have a voice of a God and not the voice of a man. You would think that is what would happen, but verse 24 says to us so beautifully, but the word of God grew and multiplied. That's not 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1. That's 1 times 1. 2 times 2. 4 times 4. That's what multiplication is. The church grew. The word of God just started spreading all over the place. And maybe it was because Herod died over a period of 5 days where the worms was eating him. Or were eating him, and he experienced that excruciating pain, and the people said, we are afraid of this God. Not Herod, the one that is killing him. Because in those days, they understood when a king all of a sudden started, or how can I say, a worm starts eating a king, then they would normally know, this is from God. Nowadays, they will say, no, it's climate change, or it's some natural reason. We can explain it scientifically. It's part of the evolutionary process. Because that's what people do, is they always take away the glory from God. Even if God punishes, they will not say it's God. They will not confess that it is God. But beloved, let me tell you, God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed at all. We sometimes think, oh, look at this massive disaster that's just taken place. That's God speaking. People will not listen. Here in the book of Acts, it's God speaking. People would not listen. But maybe because the word of God grew and multiplied, it's because maybe there were people who opened up their eyes and saw the truth for what it is and came to the point where they said, you know what, I need to repent. I need to bow my knees before this God, because a fearful thing is it to fall into his hands. And even though their motivation was fear, they still ran to the right one. They started reading the scriptures. The church grew, which means that people came to faith in Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, if there's one thing that nobody will ever be able to do, not even Herod, who they believed had the voice of a God, not even Herod can stop the growth of the church. Can't. Persecution can't. Not even if anybody gets up and they declare themselves to be God, the church will always grow. The word will spread because it's a work of God. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Beloved, this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So what a warning. What a warning this passage gives us. But at the same time, what an amazing encouragement for us to know that the same God who punishes, the same God who will allow worms to eat a king who stole his glory, that same God saves. He saves people who bow their knees before him in humble submission to him, who comes to faith in Jesus Christ, acknowledge him as Lord of their lives, acknowledging that they are sinners deserving of hell, and they turn to Jesus Christ by faith, that God, that same God that punishes, is the same God that saves. What a beautiful picture we find in this passage. So the call that goes out, and I close with this, the call that goes out with a passage like this is, please take the warning. And if you have already been warned, if you're saved, please get out there and warn people. Warn people, beloved. We need to warn them. People are going to die. There's a worm that is never going to die, that is going to eat them forever and ever for all eternity. And the only thing that can keep them from it is Christ, the truth of the gospel. And we have that truth. Are we arrogant about it? No, we are grateful for it. Because it's because of his grace that we have it. We can go out and warn. Share the good news. Spread it as far and wide as possible, but warn the people. The God that did what he did in Acts chapter 12 is the same God today, and he needs to be honored and glorified. Nobody can take his glory, because he doesn't share it with anyone, not even his children. And maybe you're watching, or maybe you're sitting in here this morning, and you have not yet bowed your knees before him. Maybe you're stealing his glory. Maybe you're looking up to leaders and crying out, they're speaking with the voice of a God. Maybe not directly like that, but in your actions. Then I want to ask you, please repent and worship the one and only true God. No one else. Because he alone is worthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you that you are who you are. You've never changed, and you will never change. And thank you so much that we can read your word and know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is none like you, never was and never will be for all eternity, for you are God. And we want to acknowledge it this morning. And in the context of this passage, Father, please give us the boldness to be able to speak out, warn with boldness that people will not steal your glory in any way. Father, that we will warn, that we will share the good news of the gospel. And while there are still time for grace, Father, I pray that you will draw people to yourself, that you will use us as instruments in your hands. And if there be anybody, Father, this morning, who have not bowed their knees before you, we pray, may this morning be the morning where they bow their knee before you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone unto salvation, acknowledge that they are sinners, and come to a saving knowledge and be received a rebirth as a gift from you, the living Almighty God. May this morning be that morning. For the rest of us, Father, as we go into this week, oh, enable us, please, to warn where warning is needed, to speak out where we need to speak out. Give us boldness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.